Back to my channel for another episode of Porn Star Confessions. Today I've got the one and only incredibly sexy Ava Maxim. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. So, how in the world, how do you come up with that name? Because as far as porn names go, that's a pretty damn good name.
The other name that I was going to use was Leandra DiMarco. But it was too long. Yep. It was too long. And I did makeup for the Maxim magazine. And do you know Ava, the wrestler with the red hair?
Uh-oh.
Well, there's a wrestler, a female wrestler, that did a cover for Maxim magazine. And her name is Eva. So I happened to look at her cover, I was like, okay, I'm just going to be Eva Maxim. So that's how I came up with my name.
Okay. And how old are you now?
I am 33 now.
You're 33?
I am.
Holy fuck.
I know.
Okay, all right. Wow, okay, I was guessing you'd say 26, but... So, how did you first get into porn? Or the adult industry?
Well, to be honest with you, I came across a performer on Instagram and I slid into their DM. I know. Saying that I was interested in porn, but I really wasn't interested in porn. I was just interested in the person. I just wanted to fuck the person. Can I say that? I know. So, yeah. Then I did get to fuck the person. And then that person asked me if I wanted to do a shoot. And I said, yeah. So I did it. And I've been doing it since.
Okay. So the first time you had sex with this person, was it on camera or no?
No, it was off camera.
Oh.
It was off camera, and then later on, he did get me a shoot, and he asked me if I was going to do it, and I said, yeah, I'm going to. So I flew to Vegas, because I was living in Miami at the time, and I went to LA, and I did my shoot. I just did it.
What were you doing for work at the time? When you were messaging,
I was working at a hotel as a front desk agent, and I was dancing at night. I was go-go dancing.
You were what dancing?
I was go-go dancing.
Oh, go-go dancing. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, but what made you want to do your first video? Like, walk me through that in your head. Because you had already had sex with him, so...
Yeah,
you
know. But then I started looking into it and doing my little research, and it sounded very appealing to me, and I just did it. And once I did it, I quit my job, and I just started shooting, and I've been shooting since then.
So what was appealing about it to you, if you don't mind me asking?
The whole aesthetics of the work, of the sex work industry. I guess I'm just a whore. I don't know. I'm so sorry.
Okay. So, all right. No, that's fair.
I'm sorry.
So, for those of you watching who don't know, I had no freaking clue. Ava is trans. So,
yes.
Where was this in the whole story? Did this all happen before?
No, I had transitioned 12 years ago. Yeah. I transitioned 12 years ago. I came out to my parents when I was 12. So I was already out. And, but I wasn't really happy with myself. Something was missing. And when I turned 20, I transitioned. I used to dress up and stuff like that. And I was happy as a girl, so I just stay as a girl.
Okay. And what? How old were you when you got into porn then?
When I got into porn, it was 5 years ago.
Okay. All right.
And I'm 33 now.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Wow. One thing I've always been curious about is what was... Forgive the way it sounds. I'm not good at being politically correct. But, like, it's easy for someone to look at you now and be like, oh, my God, Ava, you're insanely beautiful. But the thing is, I don't think a lot of people fully appreciate that in-between stage. Like, when you first transition. Like, did you really go through that where it's like, hey, you're...
I was a very feminine boy. I was a very pretty... almost lesbian looking boy.
Like so, lipstick lesbian.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did have an awkward stage where I didn't look as one thing as the other. It was like a really awkward stage. But once I passed that little hiccup, everything just made sense. It was very easy for me.
Wow.
And I really don't get clocked, ever. I pass and blend in very well into situation, society, and stuff like that. So lucky, yeah. I meant kind of lucky with my looks and stuff
so
like that.
So before, would you almost say that you were very androgynous?
Yes. I was still a boy with short hair and stuff, but I would wear heels and, like, girl clothes and makeup. I used to be a makeup artist for MAC Cosmetics. So I would go to work with my makeup done every single day when I used to be a boy. Wow. So never really had that masculinity in me. It was never there.
Okay. And how, what has your experience been like being trans in the adult industry?
My experience has been great. I think I'm one of the top performers that can perform with females and with guys. I'm mainly top now because I think I'm one of the ones that can perform that role. Because not all the trans can top or like to be with girls. I am bisexual, so it's very easy for me to do both.
Okay. So that was actually going to be one of my later questions, but no. That's by all means. So you're mainly top on camera. What are you like in your private life?
In my private life, I like everything. I top, I bottom, I like group sex. I am a very sexual being and very open. Low-key been experimenting with poly people lately and expanding my sexuality. So I'm still figuring things out. But I do like girls and boys. And I didn't know that until I started porn. I thought that I only liked guys. Only been with guys at that point. So it was very eye-opening when I started porn and starting shooting with girls. And I figured out that I really like girls.
Okay. So... in your private life, you don't have a preference for top or bottom, like 50-50, 70-30?
In my last relationship, I was the bottom because I was with someone who never been with a trans girl before. He's not in the industry or anything like that. So it was a bit challenging for me to like teach him the ways.
Gotcha. Yeah. How long were you guys together for?
We were together for 5 years, but that just ended recently.
Oh, damn. How come, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, he was not okay with my work. And what made me lucky feel very bad about me working and slut-shaming me and stuff like that. He's a great guy. I have nothing negative to say, but I just felt like it just wasn't the right situation for me, and I wanted peace. So I ended that. It just wasn't a peaceful situation.
So did he have a problem with your job the entire time, or did that come about later?
He did have a problem with my job the entire time, but... Okay. We came to terms and I started shooting only with girls. And he was okay with that for a little bit, but then that wasn't okay anymore. And I do need to work. I do not like to depend on anybody. And my work is my work. And you don't have to accept it. You just have to respect it. And there was no boundaries, no respect towards me and my work. And I said bye-bye.
Yeah. No, yeah. Honestly, that breaks my heart to hear that, because I've done like 100 of these interviews now, and that seems to be the one reoccurring theme.
Yeah, it's really... Almost everyone. It's really sad, because I don't think people view this as work. I don't think people can comprehend it's just work. Yeah. You know, my porn persona has absolutely nothing to do with my day-to-day life. You know, I am a performer, so when I'm on camera, I perform a character. Yeah. That is not really me on my day-to-day life. But some people cannot understand that, and it's really sad. And it's really hard to find stable relationships with civilians, people outside of porn. Yeah. And even in people in porn, it's really hard just to date in general.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a break from dating life. I am not dating anyone. But I am seeing a few people.
Wait, what? Okay, now I'm confused.
I have a couple of friends that I'm seeing, 2 boys and 1 girl. And it's been interesting.
So we're talking about like friends with benefits then?
Yes. Okay. Something like that. Yeah. And it's been very freeing and very non-judgmental. And it's not like, what are you doing? Where are you? It's just very, like, easygoing, peaceful.
Yeah. But no, the older you get, the more you value peace.
Yeah. Yeah. I do need peace.
No, I mean, I will say that's a reoccurring theme through all my interviews. However, I can say there are quite a few exceptions, myself included, where people do find fulfilling relationships with civilians and their job is a non-issue, but it is a bitch to find.
It is. It is. But right now, dating anybody is one of my priorities. I'm just focusing on my career. And staying relevant and stuff like that. So I'll say that I'll be dating porn for a little while longer, until I get over it and decide to take a break or whatever happens.
Yeah. No, I get that. So, what is your ideal guy? I describe him physically, emotionally, mentally. You can snap your fingers right now.
Okay. I don't really have a type. It, for me, it's more if I have a connection with a person. But I could like a very athletic person, or I could like a chubby, very type of guy. Like, I'd like a little bit to, like, grab on. Not just six packs and rock hard muscles. No, no, no. And mentally, they need to be open-minded. I feel it's very important that they need to be somewhat, maybe bisexual.
Yeah. Why?
Because I am bisexual, and I find out that I like boys and girls, and sometimes I like to have them at the same time. So I would like my partner to somewhat enjoy the same things I do, so he or she don't feel left out. Doesn't have to be a guy.
Really?
It could be a girl. Yeah.
So women in relationships, not just sexually.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay, so I'm curious about how the whole bi thing came about. Because you said when you were growing up, you know, that you came out, I'm assuming, as gay. Because, you know, when you would see a guy on television or whatever, like, mm-hmm. you just get that feeling. What was your first experience with a woman? Was it on camera?
No, it was off camera with my best friend. I took her to Disney World for her birthday. And since the second I told her that I was trans, she always wanted to see it. And yes, she always came on to me and da-da-da-da-da. And that night, we were smoking and chilling, one thing turning to another. He took control of the situation and it happened. And I was very, like, taken away because, like, I liked it. Since the first time I liked it, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And I'm not gay. I was like a very confusing moment for me because I thought that I was just like guys, you know, but I feel like it didn't happen until I transitioned and was comfortable in my body that I could be with a girl. I think as a guy, it would have never happened. I would have never allowed it, to be honest with you.
Really? Why?
I don't know. It wasn't until I transitioned fully and it was comfortable in my skin that I was like, okay, I could do this and I don't feel manly about it. If it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I had to transition to like girls, I guess.
All right. No, what's interesting to me is that you would actually consider dating one, too. Because a lot of the times when someone's bi, one of the sexes will be like, yeah, I love having sex with them, but romantically, not so much.
I never dated a girl. I always been with them sexually. But I am not opposed whatsoever to date a girl romantically and have a relationship with a girl. I'd be 1,000% open. So if any girls out there want to take me on a date, I am available and I will say yes. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So So going back in time, you go, you do your first shoot, and then what was that experience like?
Well, my first shoot was low-key, very nerve-wracking. Very, very nerve-wracking. But it came so natural to me. It came so natural to me. It happened. I was able to get hard and everything. So, yeah. It was just, it happened. And it was with Trend Central, Ricky Wingwood. He did my first porn shoot. Yeah.
And when it was over, was it like, oh my God, I want to do that again? Or is it more like, okay, that was an interesting experience. Let's
it was more it. Like, oh my God, I hope I look really good and I hope I don't look retarded. And yeah. And it was like, I can't wait to do it again.
Okay.
It just, it came natural. So once the cameras turned on and everybody was there and like walking me through it, I really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then like the rest is history since then.
Yes. I did stop doing porn for a year and a half.
How come?
Because of my relationship, my old relationship, I stopped my work for that person, and that was a mistake. That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Yep, never again.
So what did you do during that year and a half then?
I mainly did solo OnlyFans. Or I did OnlyFans with my partner at the time, and that was it. I was just living off my OnlyFans. No studio work whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I never understood people who quit their job for their partner. I've never seen one time where that works out long term.
To be honest with you, what it was is that I wasn't fully confident in myself, and I needed, I don't want to say validation, but I low-key needed a man to validate myself as a woman back then. And it wasn't until I fully matured and came to terms that I do not need anybody to be happy or to feel fulfilled or to feel woman enough or et cetera, et cetera. So right now I'm at a really good place and very confident in myself. I don't need a man anymore and I'm really happy. I think I'm really happy now.
Mm-hmm. What was that like, your journey as far as becoming confident?
Well, we get so many insecurities, body dysmorphia, and then we take a bunch of hormones that makes your brain not work 1,000% the right way. So you get anxiety, you get panic attacks, you get sad, happy, aggressive, and alt at the same time while you take your hormones. So it takes a very long time counseling therapy to like know what triggers you, what are you comfortable with, why are you feeling this type of way. So I think it took a lot of training for me to like pinpoint when I was having anxiety attacks or when I was feeling a certain type of way. And now I think I fully mature and I'm good. I know I don't have any insecurities anymore. I'm happy with my body. I'm happy with my brain. I'm happy with what I do. So, in a really good place, but it was a process. It took years and years.
Yeah.
It took years.
Do you remember an exact moment where it was just like, okay, we're good now?
A year ago. When I realized that I needed to leave my partner for me, not for anybody else. And I, mind you, I love that person. So it's harder to walk away from a situation when you're in love with that person and you know that person is not good for you than when something happened and, you know, I walked away with a ring in my finger because we were about to get married. So, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. With a ring in my finger. But when, I don't know what came over me, I just realized that I was going to be okay on my own, that I was going to be fine. And I did it. I just jumped. It was very scary, but I just jumped, came to Vegas with a suitcase, got a place within 2 weeks. And it's been a year now.
Oh, so you've only been in Vegas for a year.
But I used to live in Vegas. I went to middle school and high school in Vegas. So I'm no stranger to Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm no stranger to Vegas. I left and I moved to Miami and I lived in Miami for 3 years. And then when I met my ex, I moved to LA and I was living in LA until I moved here a year ago.
Okay. So when you broke up, that's when you moved back to Vegas.
Because if I would have stayed in L.A., I had no friends, nobody in L.A., I would have probably gone back to my ex. And I wanted to change my reality, so I just needed to go away. And because of work, I need to be or in L.A. or in Vegas. Because I mainly work in L.A. majority of the time. So I decided to come to Vegas, and I'm here.
That's pretty impressive that you recognize that about yourself and move. Because a lot of people aren't honest with themselves. So they would have stayed in LA and ended up going back out of loneliness or out of familiarity or whatever, you know what I mean?
Well, for half of the year, I wanted to run back. I just didn't do it. So I had to disattach myself and be strong and be like, no, just remember why you left the situation. Just remember why you left the situation. So every time that I felt like I wanted to call or like I wanted to go over there, it's just remember why.
Oh.
Yeah.
You got some good self-control then.
I do.
Okay.
I do.
So.
Yes, I'm really proud.
One thing, and I'm speaking from not personal experience, but something like that when I asked this, because several of my exes were trans, and one thing they seem to encounter over and over and over and over again is if they want to find a guy to fuck, oh, they could do that so fast it'll make your head spin. Finding a guy who will date you, completely different story.
Yes, a different whole story. If I go right now to my parking lot, I'm sure I can fuck any of my neighbors that I want. I can fuck any guy that I want. Any guy will fuck me. But there is not many guys that will take the time and the respect to, like, see me as a normal, regular girl and give me the time of day. So dating for my kind is really, really, really bad. So believe it or not, that's one of the reasons why we turn so cold and just start charging everybody straight up like that, because we go to so much trauma of being used and abused, or being fetishized and da 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 da, that whenever someone genuine wants to really invest their time in us, we are not able to recognize it. We are not able to see it. And it never happens. So it's really bad.
How do you deal with that, though? Because, yep. I mean, I feel like that when I'm on Twitter or, like, when I'm, you know, doing certain things in porn. But then when I go back to real life, that disappears. So I can't even imagine what that would be like for you where you're dealing with that 24/7. There's no time that that's off.
Luckily, I am very intuitive. And because I have been through that type of behavior before, I can pick up on it. So I can normally recognize if somebody just wants to fuck me and left me for dead, or what, it's true, or wants to like get to know me and like take me out and invest their time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but mind you, even my ex family, they knew me, but they had no idea that I was trans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had no idea that I was trans. And even when I got back on like dating sites and stuff like that, he saw me on the dating site and he was like, well, didn't you think that my friends and family was going to see your profile and da-da-da-da. So I was like, well, I don't give a fuck. I really don't give a fuck. That's not my issue. And that is something you're going to have to deal with. If your family see me or friends see me on any dating sites, that's not my problem. But yeah, even with my ex. No, tell me.
Did he not tell them on purpose, or was it, did he not tell them because it just wasn't a big deal? So there's a big difference.
I'm the first trans that he ever dated. Ever, ever, ever dated. He even had issues with my dick at the beginning because he didn't want to see it all the time. Yeah, it was the process. It was the big process. It was a big process. But I do not introduce myself as, hi, my name is such and such and I am trans. No. But if somebody asks me, I'm not going to deny myself.
Yeah.
Ever. So I told him, because he was uncomfortable of people finding out what I was. I said, okay, I don't care if you don't say anything, but I'm just going to let you know that if they ever ask me, I'm not going to deny myself. So majority of the time, I was not taken to family functions and stuff like that because of the scare that somebody may recognize me because of what I do, or they may clock me and ask me like, hey, are you trans? So overall, it just wasn't really a good situation.
Yeah, that does not sound healthy at all.
No, but that comes from not being confident in myself and accepting bullshit instead of like standing my ground and be like, all or nothing, you know.
Yeah.
But now I know.
Well, I mean, at the same time, though, I think it's amazing that you don't make it your whole identity and, you know, it's just part of you. I mean, I remember with one of my exes who was trans, we had been together for like 2 years, and one day I told my son, I was like, you know she's trans, right? And he's like, no, I had no idea. He's like, that's cool, though. So it's like, we it just it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like we were intentionally hiding it.
To me, it's not important for people to know. I feel like that is something between me and my partner. But like I said, if they ever question me about it, I will never deny myself. I'll never be like, oh my God, no. Like, what is that? No, I'll be like, yes. And it's huge. I'm sorry. It is big.
Yeah, no, it is very nice.
So, yeah, I do not deny myself, but I do not care for people to know what I am because I don't think it defines me whatsoever. It's not. It's just you're a human being, so who cares what you have between your legs or what you like or, you know. So yeah. I don't really care if people, for me to tell people, but I do say yes if they ask me.
Yeah. I get that. So, were you always into makeup your entire life?
My mom is a hairstylist. She's a cosmetologist. So, seeing her as a kid in that beauty world and doing hair and doing this and doing that, me obviously being gay, I was always inclined into anything feminine. I was always feminine since very, very tiny. Because I come from a Cuban background. My family's Cuban. I'm Cuban. I'm Cuban born. So my dad is a very macho, macho man. Uh-huh. My grandpa too. And then I came out like very soft and gentle. Like they play sports, they fix cars, they like do all these sort of things, and I never really did. I always wanted to play with girls, or I always was speaking like with my hands. I remember my dad always going like, stop moving your hands, stop moving your hands. But yeah, I was always inclining to anything feminine, so I got into makeup just like my mom did.
So, are your mom and dad still together?
No, they're not together, but they're very good friends. My dad lives here in Vegas. My mom lives in Florida.
So, what's your relationship like with your dad now?
Amazing. Amazing. I have the most amazing supporting parents in the world, including my grandpa, who I thought that will never accept me. And my stepmom. My stepmom, when I told my, because it's not the same thing to say that you're gay. I'm an only boy child from my dad, so I was the only male. Then when you say, okay, I want to be a girl now, because you no longer have a son. It's not the same thing as having a gay male son. You still have a son. Then when you say, well, I'm just not gay, I just want to be a girl. But my dad was a little rocky at the beginning, but my stepmom really like stepped in and was like, she is beautiful, she's your daughter, and it's what it is. So I do have an amazing support system within my family. My dad called me my daughter. He buy me purses. He sometimes called me by my boy name when he's mad at me, though. yeah, he does. To get into my skin, he'll say my boy name when he's really mad at me. But other than that, they're extremely supportive.
That's very surprising to me. Because I've known a lot of Cubans, and they're in my experience, they're so about, like, the macho shit, and
I am surprised that I wasn't kicked out, and in this own, and just never spoken to again. but that wasn't the case. My grandpa came through. He was like, "You're so beautiful. You look amazing." My grandma, they both just passed away a couple years ago. But everybody was very supportive of me. And the part of the family that is not, I don't really care. I don't really, because it's, to me, my family is my mom, my dad, my grandpas, and this. Whoever, cousins, non-cousins, aunts, and other people I don't really care about.
Yeah.
But my dad and my mom, yeah.
So you say you were born in Cuba?
I was born in Cuba.
Oh, shit.
I was born in Cuba, and I came to United States when I was 11 years old in 2001. No, 2001 or 2002, around that time. I came with my dad straight to Vegas. My dad, my stepmom, and my grandpas, they were already here. We came from political asylum. So it was a whole process because we were in the embassy for like 3 months, locked in there, not being able to leave that facility for like 3 months.
In the American embassy?
In the American embassy in Cuba.
Jesus.
So, yeah, because we are political refugees. So we couldn't step outside the embassy when we came to America because we would have been arrested and never seen ever again. Actually, we had to break my grandpa out of prison. Yeah, it was a whole, it made sound like a movie, but we paid a lot of money because my grandpa was in jail. We paid a lot of money to get my grandpa out of prison in Cuba, illegally, obviously. And we took him and literally ran to the embassy and we presented all the paperwork, everything that was going on and why was he in jail for. Because it was just very not fair. And they approved our case and from the embassy we came to America. And I never been able to go back to Cuba.
Wow. So what was he in jail for?
We in Cuba, you cannot have businesses or have multiple properties or have. Yeah, you're not allowed to have any businesses. You're not allowed to have internet. You're not allowed to have absolutely nothing. So my grandpa used to have a farm. On the beach, we used to have a cement factory, and we used to sell avocados in the city. So, because we were not allowed to have businesses, they took the farm, the cement factory, and they put my grandpa in jail. For running a business. Yeah. It's crazy. You can go to jail even for being gay sometimes. They don't play. It's a communist country, so they can do whatever they want. So the only people that are truly successful in Cuba are people that work for the government or are friends with people from the government and stuff like that. But regular, normal people, they will not. They are starving. One egg is like $80. Yep. If you cannot eat beef, if you got caught killing a cow, you go to jail for 8 years for being hungry and killing a cow. So you can own cows, but you cannot use them for meat.
Why?
I don't understand why. But if you're a tourist, right, and you come to Cuba to spend your American dollars or whatever currency you come to Cuba with, you'll have absolutely anything and everything that you desire. But the people from Cuba, they cannot get caught eating a lobster or fishing for them. If you get caught with a lobster, it's like 10 years in prison. If you kill a cow, it's like 8 year in prison. It's crazy.
I mean, Jesus, if we're in Cuba, this sludge you saw me drinking, this is like a $1,500 breakfast shake, then. Jesus.
What? Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, so you, being someone who's lived through that shit, what would you say to all these young people that are running around now being like, oh, we want communism, communism's so great, blah, 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 blah. What would you say to them having lived through it?
I will say they have absolutely no fucking idea what they're talking about, because communism has not worked in any country except China. Except China. So the system of communism fails absolutely in any part of the world. It just do not work. And it's like being in prison, and it's taking your freedom away, and it's taking your communication. It's like being literally in a cage. In a cage, just like, it's horrible. And people will have to experience it themselves to really know what they're talking about. Because communism is not pretty. It's not pretty.
And I'm guessing you also don't have freedom of speech.
No, you don't have freedom of speech. You do not have internet. You, all your rights are taken away. They can come at any time and take your home, take your kids, put you in jail, and never be seen again.
So, forgive me if this sounds naive, but why ain't, I mean, obviously, a lot of people try to escape Cuba. I mean, if it was so great, people wouldn't be risking their lives in life rafts trying to cross.
You know how many Cuban people have lost their lives swimming across the ocean 90 miles just so we can get anywhere but Cuba? Even crossing, even we used to be able to fly to Honduras or like Colombia and stuff like that. Recently, and people will just cross the frontier all the way just to America. And a lot of people lost their life, lost their kids, got lost, drowned, dead, just to escape the regimen. My cousins, he was 19, his girlfriend was 18, and they came swimming by themselves here. In the 90s.
They swam.
They stole a boat. And they came here. And hundreds and thousands of people try to leave Cuba that way in an everyday basis.
Yeah. Jesus. So, you guys got your asylum claim.
Yeah.
Understandably approved. But then what happened?
Well, we were living in the embassy for 3 months, not being able to leave that facility whatsoever. Then they did all the paperwork. They got us passports, all stuff, like special permits. And they took us in a van straight to the airport into a plane, and we came here.
But did you have money with you?
We did not have money or anything like that, but we had a sponsor. We had a sponsor here in Vegas that the government kind of like gives to you. There's a group of people that will help political asylum type of people. And then you come here and they help you with like housing, they help you with food, medical, and stuff like that. I remember at the very beginning, we had EBT. We have EBT cards, we had Medicaid, and we lived at a very questionable apartment, but to us was like absolutely everything, because we had like nothing in Cuba. So, and fast forward, my dad owns his own house now. I do great. I take care of my mom. So I've been very blessed since I left my country.
Wow. What does your dad do now?
My dad doesn't work now because he suffered a stroke. But he used to work in the casino industry. Yeah, and my mom does not work because I take care of her.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is one good thing about Latin culture is family units tend to be very tight-knit.
Yes, we tend to be very close and very supportive of each other. Like, our parents take care of us, then we take care of our parents. It's just how it works. Plus, my mom, she had to leave Cuba in a different kind of way as well. I left first. I left my mom behind.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She asked me, what do you want to do? I remember this like it was yesterday. I was like 10 years old. 10 years old. And she asked me, like, your family? Because we were planning our escape for a very long time. But because my mom and my dad were no longer married, we could not bring my mom into the political asylum situation. So she asked me straight up, this is what's going to happen. Do you want to leave with your dad or you want to stay here with me? And I said to her, well, mom, I think it's best if I leave, and then I'll try to figure out how to bring you. And that's what we did. I left at 10, 11 years old without my mom. Left my mom in another country, not knowing what was going to happen to my mom. And came here with my dad and my stepmom. And my mom left to Spain, because we paid money to help her escape from Cuba. And she left to Spain, and she lived in Spain for a while. And I was able to go visit my mom in Spain, but it wasn't until 6-7 years ago that I was able to gather enough money that I can, because my mom will apply to come visit America, and they will not allow her because there was a possibility that she could stay.
Yeah. Why couldn't she have gotten asylum too?
She couldn't get an asylum too because she wasn't married to the party that all the things were happening to. If she would have been married to my dad still, she would have been able to come. But my dad already had another relationship with somebody else, and she just couldn't come with us. But she only stayed in Cuba 5 years after I came to America. She left to Spain, and then I brought her to America 7 years ago. So she's now here in America with me. Actually, as a matter of fact, I'm going to see her on the 1st of December. So wow. I go to see her very often, and she comes to visit often, too.
Where does she live?
She lives in Miami.
Oh, okay.
On the beach. On the beach. So she lives better than I do, actually.
Wow. So when you said like it costs a lot of money to get her out, I'm assuming you had to pay off someone in Cuba so that she could go to Spain.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Cuba is very corrupt, in which you have to pay off anyone to do anything.
Absolutely. Any communist country is corrupt in anywhere money talks. So if you have a group of starving people in Cuba, and whether they work for the government or not, even people that work for the government are freaking starving, and you come, hey, I'm going to give you this amount of money if you help me get this visa approved for this person, or disapproved, or da-da-da approved. And it does happen. It does happen. It's no secret. So you have to pay him an arm and a leg, but it happens. The situation happens. So that's how I got my mom out of the country.
Jesus. I'm sorry, but what a fucking shithole country.
I know. I know. I know, and I feel so bad by the people that I left behind there.
Yeah.
I never been able to go back, and I don't think I will want to go back.
Yeah.
Ever.
Do you think stuff there will ever change?
That's a very rough question. Like, I feel like the country will have to be tired of the situation and just rebel in order for that to happen. Because even though the Fidel Castro passed away, there is another group of people that are taking advantage, even in the most fearful way, of the people living there. But they have private jets, they can leave the country anytime they want, they eat like kings, they export food from other places, they drive Mercedes. The only people that have Mercedes in the country is the president of Cuba and his family and his friends.
Wow.
How fucked up is that? And they have private jets to go anywhere in the world they want. But the people of Cuba cannot leave the country to go anywhere. We're not allowed to leave the country. We're not allowed to have internet. Too many stuff.
There's no such thing as a vacation or...
I mean, you can go to another province in Cuba for a vacation if you can afford it.
Jeez.
But sometimes the own people of Cuba are not allowed in the touristic area. Yep.
So there's a special tourist area.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or you have to, somebody from the outside have to bring you, or, and sometimes those places are in American money. Not even Cuban money, like American money. And Cubans don't have American money.
Wow. That's...
So you go to the stores and the currency is American money, but Cubans don't have American money. So how are you going to buy this stuff? So you need to have somebody that lives here who sends you American money so you can do purchases in Cuba. And you get 1 pound of, I think it's 1 pound of rice a month. It's horrible. 1 pound of meat a month, and it's not even like beef, it's like pork or something else, who knows. And I think you get about 100 pesos, well, will be the equivalent of like maybe $50 to $80 a month. And an egg is like 80 bucks, 80 pesos. So you tell me.
That's absurd. That
exactly.
Is
it, doesn't make it, absurd. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I don't understand how people aren't just starving to death, dying in the street.
They are. They are.
Jesus. Jesus. Wow. That's...
Yeah.
Well, you're here now, and so is your family, and that's really the only thing that matters.
Yeah, I've been blessed for that, and I'm so thankful that I left all that.
Yeah.
Here.
So, what do you like doing for fun with your free time?
For fun, I like to travel a lot. So, whenever I can, I take like a month, 2 month vacation. I've been to so many countries. Yeah.
A month long vacation?
Yes. I deserve it.
What the f? How do you afford it? That's my question.
I travel smart. I travel very smart. There is Airbnbs. There's places that are like $20 to $50 a day. Yes.
Where?
You don't have to rent a whole entire place. You can rent like a room or something like that. So I can travel very smart. And let's say if you're in Europe, traveling within to country to country, it's like going from here to Miami. So, yeah, I'm actually going right now in January 10th to the 26th. I'm gonna go to Singapore and I may do Thailand. But in June, I went to Mallorca, Spain, Bilbao, Spain. I went to Monaco, and I was traveling for a whole month all over Europe. Yeah.
Wow. What's your favorite place you've been to?
My favorite place is Switzerland.
Really? Why Switzerland?
It's the most beautiful, cleanest, amazing country that I've ever been to. So, and it's one of the richest countries in the world too, so. So it's very beautiful, it's very green, it's very clean. It's just stunning. Oh, and Iceland too, I love Iceland. I've been there twice. And can't wait to go again.
Okay, that's an answer I've never heard before. What the fuck is so amazing about Iceland? I mean, the only thing I know about Iceland is that Iceland's green and Greenland's actually ice.
Well, Iceland is such an amazing, magical place because the island itself, the country itself, is still developing. It's so, so very young. So you get 200 to 500 seismic activity in one day. And then while you drive, you can see snow, and then you see green, and then you see rain all at the same time. And then at night, you see the northern lights. So that's magical. And you have the Blue Lagoon. And it's a very weird place because it's all thermic volcanic underneath. So sometimes it happens that you're cooking in the kitchen and the door opens up and then you have a hot spring coming through your kitchen.
What?
Yes. Randomly, there is water coming through places, very hot water. And they have a special bread that they cook underground, just with the hotness of the ground.
Yeah, I saw that. There's a show with Zac Efron where they travel different places in the world. I remember seeing that episode.
Yeah, it's really pretty. They have whales. There's not really much to do. But there's bars and cute little stores and stuff like that to do. But I love the outdoors. I love to be outside. I love hiking. I love snowboarding. I love all that.
Wow. So you're Would it suffice to say that you're very outdoorsy?
I am. I'm very outdoorsy. I love to just get up and go. I have traveled by myself a lot. Because sometimes I want to do what I want to do. And if I travel with somebody else, then I have to be conscious of what another person wants to do. I'm very selfish sometimes.
No, I get your reasoning. Your reasoning makes perfect sense. I totally get that. I just don't know if I could travel by myself. I've never...
Oh my God, it's amazing. And I have met so many, like, great, wonderful people. And I have gone on dates while I travel. It's been great. Yeah.
Okay.
So far, so good.
So, I'm curious, would you say you're more introverted or more extroverted? Not as far as, like, going out and doing things, but as far as your interaction with other people. You more just, like, kind of keep yourself to your own thing, or are you wanting to talk to everybody?
No, I can integrate myself to any social settings that is happening. I am not shy whatsoever. I am very outgoing, conversation starter, very goofy and funny, I will say. So I do not keep to myself and go into like, no, I'll make my presence knowing, you know, you'll know that I'm in the room.
So what's your preference though? Would you prefer to interact with tons of people, or would you prefer just like one or two people that you know? What's your preference? Not what you're
On trans people?
No, just anyone.
Oh, no, I interact with anybody. I love meeting new people and making new friends. I am not a shy person. I do am very standoffish of other trans people.
Really? Interesting.
Other trans girls, to be precise.
Why?
I'm
just curious.
It's very problematic. It's very, very catty and very competitive and very just not community. You know, my kind, they don't really do community. It's very like, I am better than you. I do better than you. I make more money than you. There is like really no support system on trends, and I do not fuck with that. Like, if you give me bad vibes of, like, I can't fuck with you. So, to avoid issues, I stand to myself. I do not hang out with industry people of my kind, because I don't want to mix my work with my personal life, and then let's say something happened and then I have to slap a bitch that I work with, it won't be a good situation. I'm sorry, this sounds horrible.
There's no right or wrong answer, and I think everything you said is completely valid.
It's true. My community is very not supportive of each other. It doesn't give community. So I'm very standoffish when I meet other trans girls. I like, because we have so much anxiety, so much chemical intaking, and so much imbalance. I just don't mix well with my kind. I do have a couple of friends that are trans that I've been friends with since like I transition, but besides my five friend tiny circle, I do not accept no new applications when it comes to that. Like, you have to be extremely special and extremely mentally stable for me to approach and be like, hey, let's hang out. And if anybody gets mad with what I'm saying, they can suck, because I am not apologetic whatsoever. So they can come for me all they want.
No, I get it. I mean, because, yeah, no, the three trans women that I've dated would all actually agree with you 100% on what you just said. Like, they were all very much the same way.
It's very competitive. All they want to talk about is surgery. Don't get me wrong, that's great. Or silicone injections, or who knows what. And majority of my kind, I feel that because of their life experiences, they're not very stable. Remember, you're talking to a community that majority of these girls been kicked out of their home at 15, 12 years old, kicked out to the streets. They have to fend for themselves, drugs, substance abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse. So majority of the girls in my community are not 1,000%.
Yeah.
Okay, up here, and how can they be because of their life experiences, you know?
Yeah.
So, I do understand where they come from sometimes, and the behavior, and the walls, and the aggression, and the cattiness, but I do not mix well with that. So, I just stay away.
So you want just people that are stable in your life,
I
just like a nice
do.
even keel seven.
I do, or people that want to better themselves or like seek wellness and getting better and can recognize that they're having an issue and they can better themselves. Not just talking to a mindset and stuff like that. I have lost best friends to drugs and stuff like that. So yeah. And remember, majority of my community is in sex work. Prostitution, escorting, porn. We all, every single trans person, I'm not saying every single trans person, but majority of the trans community is in some sort of sex work. If you think about it. And I don't think it's by choice. I think it's because they have to then fend from themselves from a very young age because they want to be who they want to be and they're not supported.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say all, but I think
I'm
you're
not
right.
saying all, I say majority.
Yeah, no, I
Majority.
would agree with that. Because I was
Yeah,
like
majority.
going through thinking about it after you said that. I was like, huh, that's interesting.
That's what I say, that I've been very lucky to have supportive parents, but not everybody have had that. You know, I'm sure if I would have been kicked out to the streets to defend for myself, I will been in another place. Mentally, physically, I just will not been able to to attach my brain into the right place. And it's understandable, but we do not seek counseling or anything like that. We do not have the help or the support of anybody, so we have to figure it out ourselves. And majority of my kind turns into substance abuse, and once you do that, it's very hard for you to like come above that, so.
I agree completely. So, would you say the majority of your friends are male or female? Non-sexual.
Non-sexual, well, non-sexual. I have fucked all my friends, so I don't know.
Okay, not
I
ongoing sexual.
have. Okay, I think majority of my friends are male, to be honest with you. Are male, but I do have couple female friends that we are like extremely like close. But majority of my friends are male. male friends or gay friends. Yeah.
So where would you like to, you're 33 now. What would you like to accomplish before 40?
Well, I'm in the works of buying my own property this coming year. So that will be a big check mark on my book. So I want to get my own property, start my own businesses, and just enjoy life. I have accomplished a lot of things. Majority of the goals that I set to myself, I have accomplished. So I think once I get my place, I'll jump into the next thing. Okay. And it's all by myself, so I do not get the help of like anybody. So
yeah,
no sugar daddies.
What type
but if anybody out there wants to be my sugar daddy or my sugar mama, please reach out, because it could help. I'm just saying.
What types of businesses?
Well, I want to open a breakfast place. I know. Oh. It's very different, but I do want to open a breakfast place. It's been a dream of mine to have. I love breakfast. It's one of my best foods. And I'm in the works on doing that. I'm actually looking at a couple properties to get that started. So I'll try it. What's the worst that can happen? That it fails. And then I'll try again until it makes sense and it works. So I'll have a breakfast place soon. I don't think I have told this to anybody yet.
Good for you. So, mm-hmm. This next question, and please don't screw it up. Because there's a trend. I ask this question to everyone I interview. If you could only have sex in two positions for the rest of your life, you only get two, which two are you picking and why?
Okay, it'll be missionary for when I'm feeling lazy and don't want to do shit. Or be, yeah. Or it'll be me riding like cowgirl. So when I need to have control and really make myself calm. Because sometimes people don't know what they're doing. And I have to just lay back and I'll do the rest. If that's the case, for the rest of my life, those two positions.
Okay. Those would be my two answers as well. So, all right. I was going to say, don't screw it up, because 99% of people have said missionary. So I'm just sitting here thinking, like, don't be the one person who doesn't say missionary.
Yeah, those two.
Okay. All right. So, for anyone who's watching this, who wants to see more of your content, or wants to be your sugar daddy or your sugar mommy, Where can they find you on social media, your fan sites, anything and everything you
want? My OF is Eva_Maxim. My X or Twitter is Eva_Maxim. And my Instagram is Devils_Maxim. I get deleted every 15 minutes. It's like my fifth Instagram. God. So it's just Eva_Maxim. Or just Google Eva Maxim and you'll find all my stuff.
Okay. All right. And then you also have in all my links listed at the top of your Twitter.
I do have all my links listed on my Twitter. I do not have my links on my Instagram because I do not want to be deleted. But on Twitter, I do have all my links that will take you to all my stuff and all my works and all my pages.
Okay. And How would you, like, for someone who's never seen your content, how would you summarize your OnlyFans content? Like, what would someone expect?
Well, I have a variety of content from boy, girl, 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 orgies, foursomes. Yeah, I do it all. So, footwork, BDSM. What else? I think the only thing I don't really have is like impact play, and I think it's really because I cannot really sell it on OF. But I do have a lot of spicy, amazing content on my sites that I love making, and I do release a new scene, maybe 2 scenes or 3 scenes a month. I try to release a new scene weekly, so I'm always like collabing and working. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
From fandom to me being submissive to all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, damn.
All menu.
Hey, guys. Just want to say thank you for watching this video. And if you did really enjoy it, I just want to mention there are 2 ways that you can help to support this channel. On the right side, there are 3 little dots. If you click those, there is a super thanks button. And on the left-hand side, there is a join button where you can join this channel. There are 3 different tiers of memberships. The top tier does actually allow one-on-one messaging with me via Discord. And I personally answer that. It is not a service. That's just, you know, both of those are ways that you can help support me as a content creator in this channel. I mention this because YouTube is by far the thing that I enjoy doing the most. It's the thing I'm most passionate about. And unfortunately, a lot of the sexual videos, the porn star confessions, the dom sub, all that stuff, it is not monetized due to the nature of the videos. But either way, thank you so much for taking the time to watch this. I hope you guys all have an absolutely amazing week. I love you all.